Lakers Carpool. My name is James Brooks. I'm your host. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. What a crazy game last night the Lakers had in Game 4, which was played in Los Angeles. The Lakers take the win 117-111 in overtime. LeBron James was an absolute monster late in the game for the Lakers, securing the win. And I'm not going to lie, I thought this game was over 45 minutes before the game even ended. I think I tweeted out on the Lakers Carpool account I'll tweet out the Vince Carter "It's over" thing, that gif that he did after winning the dunk contest. That's pretty iconic. And when Lakers just seem like they're going to lose, I'll just tweet it out. It's over. You know, they're going to lose. And that's how I felt. I think I tweeted out when the Lakers went down 7 in the fourth quarter, which it really did feel like it was over. The Lakers overall, they had a really good first quarter. Well, they had a good first quarter. They won the first quarter, and then they built up a lead in the second quarter and then just let it dwindle right before halftime. Lakers probably should have been up 10 to 15 points going into halftime, but instead they only had a 2-point lead at half, which was pretty frustrating, and definitely felt like the momentum of the game really shifted at that moment in the second quarter when the Lakers just let, I think it was like a 12-2 or 14-2 run for the Grizzlies, and the Lakers just, they couldn't get things going offensively. Darvin Ham wouldn't call a timeout. It was a mess. So the Lakers really weren't in control of this game from that point in the second quarter until like a few minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And I'm going to pull up to see when D'Angelo Russell hit these big shots. It was, where is it? Where is that video? I thought I retweeted it. Man, I guess not. Maybe I liked it. So basically, Lakers go down 7 points. I tweet out this gif saying it's over. And with about 5 minutes to play, the Lakers are down by 7. Game feels over. Lakers have no momentum offensively. Anthony Davis is playing terribly offensively. LeBron seems like he's basically got nothing left in the tank. And I just don't, you know, it just felt, the game felt over going down 7. The Grizzlies were in control of the game for the majority of the second half, but the lead was never huge. It was like a 4-point lead or a 3-point lead or maybe a 5-point lead, and it was a close game, but the Lakers just couldn't get over the hump. They would make a, you know, miss a shot that should be a, you know, a gimme. They would turn the ball over or something and just continue to let the Grizzlies control the game. And with about 5 minutes left to go, they went down 7, which was the biggest deficit they had had for a while, maybe even in the entire game. And it was just like, yeah, this game, they can't surmount a 4-point deficit. They're not beating a 7-point deficit. So I tweet out that the game's over. Literally right after I tweet this out, D'Angelo Russell goes and hits 3 straight threes, gives the Lakers a 2-point lead with roughly probably like 3 minutes left in the game. And from that point on, we have a game, right? So then the Lakers go and so things are going back and forth. The Lakers, they're up, they're tied, they're down. It's all over the place. And with how much time was left on the clock, there was probably like 16 seconds, or no, because the Lakers would have held. There was definitely like time on the shot clock left, probably like 30 seconds left in the game. And the Lakers trying to run a play where, you know, LeBron kind of attacks the basket, and then they hit Rui cutting down the middle. Rui goes up for a dunk. Jaren Jackson Jr. meets him there, blocks the shot, I think. It was kind of a mess. There was a bunch of guys in the paint. The ball squirts out of the paint, gets shot up to Ja Morant on a fast break. Ja Morant passes it back, I think, to Desmond Bane, who puts it in to go up by 2 points with about 8 seconds left in the game. And at that point, it's like, yeah, okay, this has been the Lakers' luck. They haven't been super focused. They've been letting the Grizzlies poke the ball out of their hands. The Lakers haven't been getting loose balls. Grizzlies have been winning the hustle, kind of those hustle points of getting loose balls and things like that. And the Lakers just weren't matching that energy. You know, Anthony Davis was getting the ball poked out of his hands throughout the entire game. you know, granted he was getting fouled a lot and they weren't giving him calls and stuff, but that's a different conversation. And this is what it was, just one of those like plays that was culminate, like this, the game was culminating in this play, right, where Rui goes up for a decent look, you know, albeit there he was going up against Jaren Jackson Jr., but a good look. The ball literally gets like poked out to the Grizzlies in transition. They get a transition bucket to go up 2 points with, like, it had to have been, I think it was like 8 seconds left, 6 seconds left. So Lakers are down two. They have the ball, call timeout, and LeBron just does his LeBron stuff. He took, I think he had Tillman on him, took Tillman to the bucket, tied the game, makes this layup where it just like it hit high off the glass. Like this was a very finesse layup. It was not necessarily a gimme. This is one of those layups where you throw it high off the glass, it could come down and hit the back of the rim and bounce out. It could kind of hit the front of the rim and bounce out, but LeBron had a perfect. It goes in. Lakers tie the game at, I think, 116. And there was 0.8 seconds left on the clock. The Grizzlies tried to run a quick play to Ja Morant. Anthony Davis swallowed him up and blocked his shot. And then of course, LeBron grabs the ball and chucks it from three-quarters court, and it goes in. Obviously, this is after the time ran out because there's only 0.8 seconds left on the game clock. So that didn't count, but it was pretty funny. So the Lakers force overtime. And then from there, LeBron James just took over. He took Dillon Brooks. They jumped out to like a 3-point lead. And then LeBron James, with Dillon Brooks on him, took him to his left and got an and one call. Lakers ended up winning the overtime period 13-7, winning the game 117 to 111, and take a commanding 3-1 lead. And this game was crazy. I mean, I mentioned LeBron taking Dillon Brooks to his left. Just a quick aside, if you guys don't know, back in like January, Dillon Brooks was being interviewed and was saying that LeBron doesn't like going to his left, doesn't like going to his left. And in that game, it might have been true, but it was just funny because LeBron took him to his left, beat him to the basket, got fouled, hit the bucket, and basically kind of was the dagger in the game, that basket. And LeBron was pumped, Anthony Davis was pumped, and the Lakers ended up winning the game. But this was a crazy game. Like, the Lakers had no business winning this game. They played terribly. And, you know, the Grizzlies played equally as bad overall. Like, they shot 21% from three. The Lakers shot 27% from three. So the Lakers shot better overall from the 3-point line, which is wild at when they're shooting 27%. The Lakers shot 43% from the field. The Grizzlies shot 39% from the field. So, and this has kind of been a story for this series, is the Grizzlies haven't really put together a good shooting game or really a good scoring game altogether. Their highest scoring game this series has been, let me see, 112, which was the game one. They lost 128 to 112. This would have been their next highest scoring game at 111, or this is their next highest scoring game at 111. The game that they won, they only scored 103 points. So, and that was a game that Ja didn't play in. So this has kind of been a story for this series, is the Grizzlies not really scoring a ton of points. Like, if the Lakers can just manage to put the ball in the basket, keep momentum offensively and all these things, and then just maintain the solid defense and hope the Grizzlies do keep missing shots, it's kind of been the key for the Lakers in this game, right? The one game they've lost has been when they only could score 93 points. And then we were close to having another just awful offensive game. But, you know, Anthony Davis only scored 12 points. 4 of 13 from the field, only got 13 shots off, made four, only had 12 points, 11 rebounds. Now, the Lakers get the win, so you kind of can brush over it and be like, well, other guys stepped up, it was fine. But as the game was going, like I mentioned, the Grizzlies were in control of this game for the majority of the game. With 5 minutes left in the game, it felt like the game was over. It felt like the Lakers were just out of gas. It was going to be done. They weren't going to win this game. And we needed Anthony Davis to figure it out. We needed to get him the ball. We needed him to attack the basket. We needed him to make shots, etc. And it just never happened. It never materialized into anything with Anthony Davis on the offensive side. Now, defensively, right, like he had some blocks, and let's see, he had 4 blocks, which is great. 4 blocks. He had 11 rebounds, 9 defensive rebounds. Like he was making himself known on the defensive end, which is good. Like, it's nice. Even when Anthony Davis has a terrible game, he still makes himself known on the defensive side of the basket, which is great. So, I think, like, with Anthony Davis not getting things going, it's, you know, it can really just snowball for the Lakers if other guys don't get things going. But in my last episode, I mentioned that I was kind of expecting a big Austin Reeves game in game 4, and we got a pretty big Austin Reeves game. He was the Lakers' leading scorer with 23 points, which I feel like isn't really talked about much. It was kind of a quiet 23 points. He was 7 for 16 from the field, 2 for 5 from 3. He had a big 3 in, I think it was overtime. I could be misremembering. But he had a big 3 in the game. 7 of 8 from the free throw line, 7 of 16 from the field, 23 points. And just, yeah, a really good Austin Reeves game. LeBron James was kind of the story, 22 points, 20 rebounds. The first Lakers player to do that in a playoff game since Shaq in 2004, which is crazy. We got 17 from D'Angelo Russell. Jared Vanderbilt was huge in the first quarter. He ended up with 15 points in the game, but he had like 12 points in the first quarter. There was a point where the Lakers, he had all but like 2 of the Lakers' points to start off the game. So it was nice to see him kind of get things going offensively. He was 6 for 9 from the field, so a good Jared Vanderbilt game offensively. And, you know, the Lakers just did enough, right? Even though you had Anthony Davis with only 12 points. And again, it was a pathetic offensive effort from Anthony Davis. Like, he was, I don't know. I mean, there was definitely times where he was attacking the basket and he probably should have gotten a foul call. There's similar plays where Jaren Jackson Jr. would do it on their offensive end and he would get the foul call and Anthony Davis wouldn't, right? So in this entire series, and this is just playoff basketball nowadays, I feel like it's just fans constantly griping over fouls. And last night was a pretty bad officiated game, I would say. You had both the Grizzlies and the Lakers players just constantly complaining about calls, which is not, it's not fun to watch, honestly. And the Lakers just, yeah, like Anthony Davis couldn't get things going. He couldn't get a whistle to save his life. Not to say that every time he took the ball to the basket, he deserved to get a foul call, but like there was definitely a few plays where, and there was one in particular where the Lakers got a fast break opportunity. I think LeBron passed it up to Anthony Davis, who went up to put the ball, you know, in the hoop. And he basically got sandwiched in between Ja Morant and I think Jaren Jackson Jr., where Ja Morant, like his body, like his shoulder went into Anthony Davis's ribs or hip, and Anthony Davis had a hard fall. He got up, he was slow to get up and was like grabbing his hip and rib area. And pretty much from that point on, he was already bad before that. Like, I think he only had 2 points in the first half. He was already bad before that, but I feel like after that play, things really changed where he just was like, it was almost as if he was like, yeah, I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to force my will down low when I'm not getting foul calls, which I get. Like, I kind of, like, when I play basketball, I'm that way. Like, if I'm playing pickup where it's like, all right, if these guys are just going to hack me every time I go down in the paint, I'm just going to stay outside. It's just not fun. But, I mean, that's pickup basketball, right? Obviously, like, Anthony Davis is a 7-foot beast when he wants to be. He can enforce his will. And, yes, Jaren Jackson Jr. is a great defender. He won Defensive Player of the Year. Whatever. Anthony Davis can take him. He got stuffed a couple times by Triple J and, you know, I just feel like he lost a lot of confidence because, one, he wasn't getting foul calls. And two, he had a couple bad offensive possessions where he did get stopped by Triple J. And, you know, I just feel like he had no confidence in this game. And it's huge for the Lakers to survive a 12-point Anthony Davis game where he shoots 4 for 13 from the field. for the Lakers to win that game is huge. So shout out to Austin Reeves. Shout out to LeBron James. D'Angelo Russell had a tough game again, but he really got things going. Like I mentioned, he had those huge threes, those three-pointers where it really brought the Lakers back in the game. It literally went from this game is over, the Lakers are losing, we're going back to Memphis tied 2-2 in the series, to we have a chance to win this game. Lakers almost lost that chance by, like I mentioned before, giving Memphis a fast break opportunity with seconds left in the game to go up by 2 points. But we wouldn't even be in that position to potentially be that close in the game if it wasn't for D'Angelo Russell hitting those huge threes. So that was huge. He put in 17 points. Like I mentioned, Jared Vanderbilt had 15 points. You just can't have Anthony Davis being your fifth leading scorer. He tied... Our leading scorer off the bench was Dennis Schroeder with 12 points. You can't have Anthony Davis tying Dennis Schroeder in points off the bench. Unless Schroeder's having an amazing game where he's putting up 20-plus points, you just can't have that. So Lakers got to figure something out to keep Anthony Davis engaged and getting him good looks at the basket, because he doesn't seem to be doing it himself. Like, he's not. And when he does do it himself, right, if he doesn't get the foul call, sometimes I feel like he's playing for the foul call, which is just not the way to play basketball. You got to go hard. You got to want to dunk on Triple J. Easier said than done. But you got to want to try to do that. If you want to try and do that, they're going to give you the foul call eventually, because there's just no way to stop Anthony Davis with, and I talked about this in my last episode. If you can get Anthony Davis downhill going to the basket, it's impossible to not foul him. Now, yes, Triple J did it a few times, and he's going to be able to do it a few times, but out of 10, you know, have Anthony Davis go downhill at Jaren Jackson Jr. 10 times, he's probably fouling him 7 times, 6 or 7 times at least. Now, will he get the call? That's you know, a different question. Anthony Davis also had another play where he, like, got, it was another fast break opportunity. He went down, and he went to, I think Desmond Bane was in front of him, and he pushed off his elbow on Desmond Bane, and Desmond Bane probably flopped a little bit. They called an offensive foul, which that was a big momentum shifter again for the Lakers, where they just couldn't really get things going. Like, no, Anthony Davis was just, not only was he not getting foul calls, but he was getting these terrible, like, offensive foul calls. Like, it was a mess. And I'm not saying that they weren't warranted. Like, watching that Anthony Davis play where they called the offensive foul, I feel like when it happened, I was like, that's going to be on an offensive foul. Like, you see his elbow. You just can't, when you're not the offensive player, you can't extend your elbow out. They should call that every time. And whether they do or not is a different question, but they should call it every time. And it was pretty obvious, especially with Anthony Davis's long, lanky arms on Desmond Bane. Like, you could see him push off of him when he really could have just gone up and dunked on him. But, you know, he pushes off, gets the offensive foul, whatever. Anthony Davis played 42 minutes in the game. Austin Reeves played 42 minutes. LeBron James played 45 minutes. So that's a little tough, especially going back to Memphis now. Lakers go back to Memphis for game 5, which is played tomorrow. So we've had the first two games, the Lakers had 2 days off. Well, both the Grizzlies and the Lakers had 2 days off between each game. And now the traveling with only 1 day off in between is going to be a little tough. So that's something to kind of think about for game 3. Or game 5. But yeah, just overall with game 4, Lakers gave away all momentum at the end of the first half. They were up 15 points with Anthony Davis only scoring 2 points. It was incredible. They were playing really well, and then they just let it all go. They kind of, this happens when the Lakers give up these big runs where they panic, they force shots, or they, you know, what I kind of the vibe I was getting in last night's game in game 4 was something my dad, as my basketball coach, used to always say, like, you want to be quick, but don't hurry, right? Basically, like, move quick, be fast, but don't rush. Don't get ahead of yourself. Make sure you're running the plays and all that stuff. And I felt like the Lakers would get into these points in the game in game 4 where they were just hurrying. They were trying. They're trying to play fast, but they're not making the right reads. or just making good decisions in general, right? Like, they would just, like, Austin Reeves did this a lot. I will say, like, he was a leading scorer, and he ultimately hit some big shots and had a plus 12 in the game and blah, 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 whatever. He had a good game. But there was a lot of times where he was just trying to, like, get to the basket real quick and then would put up a layup on Triple J. And it's like, you don't have the advantage there. They're not going to call, like, a foul, really, unless he just clobbers you. But, like, he's going to be able to block you without fouling you. And I feel like the Lakers, they were really trying to attack Triple J. Like, maybe the game plan was to try and get him in foul trouble. But it wasn't really working. And they were just kind of, like, rushing it and, like, just making bad passes. And then those things wouldn't work. So then the Lakers were just settling for threes. And, like I said, they only shot 27% from three. Thankfully, the Grizzlies shot even worse. But they shot really bad from three. So that was tough. And just ultimately, like, they just got themselves into this hole where they were trying to really get out of really quick. But instead of, like, making the right reads or moving with a purpose, they were just kind of rushing it and throwing the ball up and then getting blocked or getting turnover. And I think a lot of times they're doing it expecting a foul and the whistle never came. So, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that the Lakers should have gotten a bunch of foul calls. Like, the Lakers got 31 free throw attempts versus 21 free throw attempts for the Grizzlies. Again, you can't just look at a box score and be like, oh, the Lakers had 31 free throw attempts and the Grizzlies had 21 free throw attempts. Therefore, the game was uneven and unfairly called in the Lakers' favor, right? Like, the Lakers attacked the basket a ton between Anthony Davis and LeBron James, Austin Reeves, Dennis Schroeder, Rui, sometimes D'Angelo Russell. Like, they're attacking the basket a ton. So it makes sense that they get to the foul line a lot, because it can be tough to not foul guys like LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Austin Reeves. Like, it is what it is. So you can't look at the box score and be like, oh yeah, that was an unfairly officiated game because there's a free throw differential. That's just not how basketball works, obviously. So that being said, the Lakers probably could have had even more free throw attempts, if I'm being realistic. And you could probably say the same for the Grizzlies. Like, they probably could have more free throw attempts as well. You know, you have John Morant, who attacks the basket a ton. I will say he's pretty reckless when he attacks the basket. There's, like, at least two. He had at least two offensive fouls where I think LeBron James drew two charges. Anthony Davis might have drawn one. I forget how many, but there was two in my mind for sure where John Morant just, like, is trying to, like, jump over LeBron James, which maybe he could do in a dunk contest, but he's not doing that in a game. And with his wrist or his hand injury, whatever's hurt on him, if I was a Grizzlies fan, I'd be pissed. Like, bro, stop trying to jump over Anthony Davis. Like, people are mad about having a help side defender slide over and draw a charge. They think that should be taken out of the game. Like, why not? Why is John Morant being so reckless, playing so recklessly? Like, I get he plays hard and that's just part of his game and whatever. But if I was a fan of the Grizzlies, if I was a coach of the Grizzlies, if I was an owner of the Grizzlies, I'd be like, bro, chill a little bit. You know, like, let's be a little smarter here. Let's not try and, you know, it's like he's trying to break his hand or something. Like, I don't know. It's a reckless way to play basketball. And I'm not saying this because, like, I think he's going to hurt other players necessarily, but I kind of am really more just worried about him. Like, he's going to hurt himself even worse if he just keeps doing that. And again, I'd be pissed also just as a fan to see him get these offensive fouls that really don't need to be taken. So, definitely a sloppy game overall from, I think, an officiating standpoint, from a basketball playing standpoint for the Lakers and the Grizzlies. It's game four. You've traveled back and forth from Memphis to LA. Legs are tired. People are missing shots. Anthony Davis obviously had his own issues where he was just really sloppy. D'Angelo Russell took a little while to get into and whatever. So really at the end of the day, the important thing is the Lakers won. They're now up 3-1 in the series. And I'm going to jump in and talk a little bit about game five now, where, like, I kind of mentioned this earlier, right? Overtime game, LeBron played 45 minutes, Anthony Davis played 42 minutes. Austin Reeves played 42 minutes. D'Angelo Russell fouled out in game four. And that was another thing, too. Like, he kind of had some dumb fouls where he kind of was just, like, in the wrong place at the wrong time is what it felt like, where someone would get, like, an offensive rebound for the Grizzlies, and he was just standing there with his arms up, but he had, like, his body turned or something, and they called a foul, which is, like, I get it. If you're not square face-to-face with the offensive player, they're going to call a foul a lot of times, even if you're not moving. And he was just in a bad position, wrong place, wrong time kind of idea, where he's just getting dumb fouls down below the basket. He had one dumb foul where he gave Jaren Jackson Jr. a three-point play where he just, like, swiped at the ball as he was going up, and he kind of just hit his hand, but it wasn't enough to deter him from making the basket, which that was annoying. He had some – he didn't have a very good defensive game, D'Angelo Russell. So, anyways, he fouled out. So, he only played 29 minutes, so that's kind of – with the Lakers getting the win, that's kind of – a good thing almost. Like, he basically hit those three threes, gave the Lakers the lead, and then fouled out, which kind of helped the Lakers, because then Dennis Schroeder just kind of hounded John Morant the rest of the game. Vanderbilt only played 20 minutes. Rui only played 26 minutes. Troy Brown played 22 minutes. Malik Beasley played 9 minutes. So it's really Davis, LeBron, and Reeves that played the majority of the minutes for the Lakers, which obviously, like, they've kind of been our three best players overall. So something just to think about for game five is traveling back to Memphis now. Lakers just had an overtime game. I mean, obviously the Grizzlies had an overtime game themselves where Desmond Bane played 47 minutes. John Morant played 44 minutes. Like, all their starters played 40 plus minutes. Lakers didn't have that, at least. But we're going back to Memphis. Legs already were looking tired in game four. I would expect maybe even another sloppy game in game five. It's one of those things where as the legs get tired, the three-pointers stop falling, you got to find a way to get to the basket. And the Lakers, thankfully, have some of the best players to do that. Like I mentioned before, Austin Reeves. It's funny that I mentioned his name first, but LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Austin Reeves. And the Grizzlies have that themselves with John Morant. You know, he's great at attacking the basket. They had a big game from Desmond Bane. He put up 36 points, which I feel like that's one of those things where this game four loss is devastating for the Grizzlies. You have Anthony Davis only scoring 12 points. You're leading, you're in control of the game for almost the entire second half. You get a 36-point game from Desmond Bane, and you can't win the game. It's kind of the same as like the Lakers game one where you got 29 off Rui Hachimura. If you got 29 points from Rui Hachimura and couldn't win that game, the Lakers would be kicking themselves, right? Same thing for the Grizzlies. You get a 36-point game from Bane, and you can't win the game, while also Anthony Davis only put up 12 points. And Lakers scoring wasn't incredible, like I mentioned. I mean, all their starters were above 10 points, which helps, right? But, like, 23 points, 22 points, 17 points. Like, it's nothing to write home about, necessarily. I mean, the 22 points and 20 rebounds from LeBron James is awesome, but the Lakers had another that, you know, they held Jaren Jackson Jr. to another low offensive game in game four. Sorry, I know I said I was going to talk about game five, but he only had 14 points on 5 of 15 shooting, 0 for 4 from 3. Kind of a similar game to Anthony Davis, honestly. So just bad offensive games from the bigs in game four. So yeah, with game five, like, you know, you kind of got to expect the shooting might continue to stay bad, right? Tired legs, fifth game of the series, traveling. Both teams are traveling now, right? So, yes, Memphis has home court advantage in the sense, like, their fans are there and stuff, but they're also traveling on one day's rest going into the game, just like the Lakers are. They both played overtime, right? So it's as even as it can get in that sense, aside from the fact that you have the Memphis fans at game five. So if it's me, right, if I'm the coach, I'm thinking, like, yeah, if we have open threes, take them. Let's try and get into a rhythm. But we got to focus our game plan on how to attack the basket. Attack the basket. If nothing's there, kick it out for an open three. And that's typically what the Lakers' game plan is. Like, this isn't rocket science. You have Austin Reeves that can knock down threes. You have Rui who's been knocking down threes. D'Angelo Russell should be able to knock down threes. It'd be awesome if Troy Brown Jr. and Malik Beasley could knock down threes, but they haven't been. You know, Dennis Schroeder can hit a timely three-pointer. Obviously, LeBron James can hit them. The Lakers have guys that can hit these threes. So attack the basket with LeBron, Anthony Davis, do some pick and rolls, set some screen off-ball screens, get Austin Reeves on the weak side or someone on the weak side that can hit a three if things don't work on the pick and roll and whatnot. Like, that's kind of the game plan you got to think going into game five when legs are going to be tired. And yeah, legs are tired, so you don't want to be, like, running and attacking the basket either. But you have a higher percentage of these, you know, a mid-range to closer to the basket than a three-pointer. I mean, it just is what it is. Like, if the Lakers have been shooting, they shot, like, 27% in game three, too. So I talked about it in the last episode. They didn't have a great shooting game in game three. They just happened to go up 35-9 in the first quarter, which helped a ton. So game five, you just got to attack the basket. It's going to be a battle. The Grizzlies aren't going to roll over. They're not a team that's just going to roll over because they're down 3-1. They're back home. They're going to be reinvigorated by the home crowd. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers dropped this game, especially, like, you know, I feel like we kind of got lucky with game four. I feel like we kind of got a little lucky with game four. I mean, I'll take the win, but the Lakers, they don't play so well when their backs aren't against the wall, which is kind of frustrating. So we'll see how they come out. I could see them coming out a little flat, but I also, you know, it's not often that you get two bad Anthony Davis games in a row. I could see him coming out and just dominating. You know, I feel like it's almost like he'll come out and play well, and then the opponent will adjust for it and figure out a way to kind of, like, get the ball out of his hands and stop him a little bit in the next game. And then he goes out and has a bad game, and then they're like, okay, let's, like, they adjust off of it for whatever reason, and, like, he comes out and just, like, is a monster on the boards, gets these second chance opportunities, all these types of things. So Anthony Davis is kind of the big story for the Lakers here. Like, we have no business winning a game where Anthony Davis only scores 12 points. We did it anyway, so we got to take the win. But we need Anthony Davis to be better offensively. We got to find a way to get him the ball, get him, you know, do more of what we did in game three. Like, have him move, get the ball in movement, get him going downhill. Don't just, like, you know, I mean, there's no reason why he shouldn't be able to post up Tillman or Desmond Bane. But for whatever reason, they just don't do that. Or if they do try and do it, it's too slow. They can throw the double team at him. He really is, I think, at his best when he's on the move. You know, if he gets the ball around coming off a handoff or in the pick and roll, or you know, things like that. Getting him the ball where, like, he goes to, like, post up, he gets pushed out to the 3-point line, then he's just turning and facing and trying to drive around a guy. Yeah, he can do that most of the time, but it's not the most reliable or the best offensive scheme, in my opinion. Like, I'd rather get the ball, you know, get players moving. I talked about this last episode. That's basketball's at its best offensively when players are moving, you're passing the ball, you're setting screens, you're cutting, all these different things. It's not rocket science. It's basketball. It's not, you don't need to be some great basketball mind to know these things, right? Like, you watch the Spurs, you watch the Warriors, you watch, you know, how the Kings have played a lot this season. A lot of movement, a lot of attacking the basket, a lot of cutting, and the Lakers have done it a lot themselves. That's when they've really been their best, is when they're playing that way. So if they can hone that in and come out, and, you know, we've seen in the 2020 playoffs where the Lakers made that run, right? I talked about how they won every round of the Western Conference playoffs in five games, and then it wasn't until the finals where they got pushed to six games. I could see a world where they do come out and they, you know, LeBron and Anthony Davis just have a huge game and they put them down, and, you know, maybe the vibes in the locker room for Memphis are really low right now and they're just not, maybe, you know, I don't think they'd roll over. Maybe they do. Maybe they just come out and they just have a terrible game. You don't really know what's going to happen from a shooting standpoint. You'd like to think as a fan, right, that, like, if I'm a Grizzlies fan, I'd like to think that they could come out and actually have a good shooting game, but we haven't really seen it yet. So, you know, maybe they're due for it, or maybe they won't. Maybe it won't happen at all. So, we'll see what happens with Game Five. I wouldn't be surprised if the Lakers dropped it, right? Just traveling out to Memphis, not having home court advantage, all that kind of stuff. But it would be huge for the Lakers to be able to just end the series, get out in five games, move on, and hopefully let the Kings and Warriors go to seven games. You know, give the Lakers a little bit more rest, give them some time to kind of work things out, plan things and whatnot. And with LeBron, right, being so old and being in his 20th year and with the foot injury going on, you know, maybe he's a ticking time bomb for something bad to happen. I sure hope not. I really don't want to jinx it or anything, but the more rest that the Lakers can get at this point, the better off they can be, but also with also, you know, keeping up some momentum and things like that. So we'll see what the Lakers can do in game five. I think, I mean, just keep the defense up, right? Like the Grizzlies haven't shown that they can put up a ton of points. 112, like I mentioned, is the most. And so far this series, like the Lakers have only played one game. No. Yeah. They've only played one game where, well, no, that's not true. They won 111-101 in game three. So they technically would have lost if the Grizzlies scored 112. But for the most part, they've been able to put up enough points in the game to win. That's why we're up 3-1. No duh. But like, if they can just keep the defense up to keep the Grizzlies from scoring a ton of points, it seems like someone on the Grizzlies is going to step up, right? Like, it was Ja Morant in game three with 45 points. Desmond Bane with 36 in game four. Tillman had like 20 something in game two. And was it, did Jaren Jackson Jr. have a big, he only had 18 points, but he had like 30 something in game one. So there's always going to be someone that's going to score for the Grizzlies. That's kind of just how basketball works, I guess, right? Like, someone has to score the points, but it seems like it's always one guy is putting up a ton of points and the rest of the team's kind of putting up decent numbers, but nothing stellar. So if the Lakers can just keep, you know, it's like I mentioned last episode, you kind of give Ja Morant his 45 points, but if you can stop everyone else, then you're good. You're solid. Same thing with last game in game four. Desmond Bane put up 36 points. If Desmond Bane's putting up 36 points and you're winning the game, that's a good situation to be in. So again, just keep up the defense. The defense has been good overall. Keep up the defense, and the offense, just, you got to keep it from stalling out. You got to just keep the momentum offensively, keep the movement going on, get LeBron and Anthony Davis attacking the basket, and good things will come if you do those things. So if the Lakers can do that in game five, series is over, we win game five. If we let this, you know, if we stall a little bit, give the Grizzlies a chance to hit some shots in front of the home crowd with their energy kind of put it back into it and stuff, I see a world in which we lose game five and have to come back to LA for game six. So, and again, you get to that point and things get kind of slippery, right? Like, you get to a game six and it's like, oh, you're only one game away from a game seven. And then in a game seven, anything can happen, right? Like, that's why you just got to put your foot on their throats in game five and just end it. Just end it. You're up 3-1. You're in command of the series. Just do what you've been doing that's been working and go on and win the game. At this point, we've kind of seen everything. Like, right? Like, the Lakers have seen everything the Grizzlies are going to throw at them. The Grizzlies have seen about everything the Lakers are going to throw at them. And I think the Lakers are, I mean, obviously the Lakers being up 3-1, they're better. They've been better at what they've had to throw out at the Grizzlies, right? You have Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Just get Anthony Davis going to a point where he's not going to score, you know, he's going to score 20 plus points in the game. If you get that going, LeBron's going to get his 20 plus points. And then you just need D'Lo, Austin Reeves, Rui, so one of those three to step up. And at that point, you're in a good situation if you can make that happen. So I'm looking forward to game five on Wednesday. It's an earlier start, 4:30, because it's out in Memphis. And hopefully the Lakers can close out the series in five games and move on to the second round. Thank you all for listening, and go Lakers. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Lakers Carpool. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts and share it on social media with your friends. You can find the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or most places where you listen to podcasts. Again, thank you so much for listening, and go Lakers.
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good!